So you'll let me know when you want me to start.
What's the name of this?
This is the Beit HaMidrash Lehilchot Hityashvut, I think. That's the, I'm going to introduce myself in a moment. I'm not a member of this yeshiva. I think Rabbi Efrati here would probably be a better person to give you the exact name. But I know that it's, if you go on the web, or if you look on the outside, it's Beit Midrash HaGvoha, the great Beit Midrash Lehilchot Hityashvut, for the laws concerning agriculture and living in Eretz Yisrael. I think that's the name of the school. And I'll explain in a moment. I'm going to just turn on
this for my own self-edification. And now, is there going to be a setup of some refreshments or something that the gentleman should take before? Should I get started?
Yeah.
We should get started. Okay.
So bring in pizza and drinks in a few minutes.
All right. Okay. Very good. All right. So I'm going to get started here. Let me.
Gentlemen, if you could put your phones on silent.
Refreshments.
If someone over here has a phone that has a camera inside, if you could grab a few pictures of the group. Speaker, that would be nice.
My camera's half broken.
All right, everyone, look to your left and smile on the count of three.
Left.
One, two, three.
Vida.
All right, everyone, look up and put your left hand out like this.
That's your right.
Everyone, look at the camera and say,
okay, and we've got such a big crowd tonight. We've got such a huge crowd tonight that I was asked to put this on. I gotta take off my glasses to put this on, and then we'll get started. Okay.
Winner, maybe we'll pause at the halfway mark.
Sure.
And we'll get drinks and stuff.
Maybe right after an introduction, whenever it comes in.
It won't be here yet.
Okay, fine. All right, so we'll get started. I actually feel a little bit guilty that I brought myself a tea, which I put over here. And let me know, do I sound too loud?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. My wife does that to me. You know, without this thing, I'm loud. You know, you should hear me without the thing. You know, you say, in this room, you know. I'm driving somebody nuts in the van. All right. Okay. Is that any better? Slightly better?
Slightly.
Look, at a certain point, to just say, you know, has she take the thing off and just talk to us, you know?
Is that for recording or for just...
No, this is just for amplification of... all right, let's get started. My goal here is not to fill time. Oh, okay. You know what I think? You want to let me just. Nachnu nitein etzel l'rava zaki. Who? Can who yachlit matel asal midnei kashu ani beemtza. When I'm in the middle of talking, I don't think about that. You know, I can be burning up, but I keep talking. So. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Beseder. Okay. Beseder gamor.
It's not a discussion lecture.
I guess I'm going to start it as a lecture. It is my desire that it does not stay that way.
Okay.
Full body? we'll make that as a final discussion at the end, you know, depending on the weather. It's all right. You believe me. You can make fun of my accent as much as you want. I'm from Chicago. I have no accent. Everybody else talks strange except for me. Okay? My name is Heschel Weiner. And I am the director of the Martin and Gertrude Walder Science Laboratory and Learning Center. And that is a... It's a learning center, which is based, the main branch and its foundation was in Chicago about 12 years ago, and it was founded by a company called Integrated DNA Technologies. It's a very large corporation which manufactures DNA materials for research in research labs, genetic research around the whole world. Now, the president and CEO of Integrated DNA Technologies is a very fine man and friend of mine, Dr. Yosef Walder, who currently lives in Chicago, and I'm trying to get him to come live in Israel. I just moved to Israel in August.
Mazal tov.
Thank you. Currently, 50% of my time I'm here, and 50% of my time I'm at the Walder Science Center in Chicago, and we're starting to create the beginnings of fledgling Walder Science Center here in Israel. And in fact, one of the reasons that I'm here tonight is because this is a co-effort, a partnership between the Beit Midrash of Hilchot Hityashvut and the Walder Science Center, and I'll explain that just a little bit more in a moment. In any case, so Dr. Walder, who is he's a scientist and a biochemist, a former member of the faculty, a professor at the University of Iowa, and he started this business many years ago, and he's very much into science and the study of the Torah. He greatly supports those institutions which are dedicated to learning Torah and their service Hashem and the observance of Torah, but also at the same time doing those programs so that Jewish people should be second to none in especially students in terms of research and scientific careers. So therefore, that's what the Walder Science Center does, both in Chicago and here, is to try to bring science where it could be applicable with Torah. So Dr. Walder, he visited once the Beit Medrash over here, and he's very impressed with the dedication of the men of this kollel to the studying of the laws of agriculture of Israel. And so he turned to me and he said, Heshi, maybe one of your first projects that you want to do when you get here is to see if there is a, you know, if there's a way that you could bring in a little bit of science with the Torah laws, with the Torah laws of agriculture. So actually, believe it or not, you are my guinea pigs. This is my maiden voyage, so I really need your help here. Okay. What I would like to do, rather than to just lecture, the things that I'm going to be talking about tonight is a little bit of science having to do with the mitzvah of Orla. You were here, some of you were here last week. Are you familiar with the mitzvah of Orla? If not, I will review it. My job tonight is not to be a Torah teacher. Baruch Hashem, thank God, the gentlemen who study in this kollel do an absolutely splendid job of studying the Torah and teaching the Torah, and I'm a yeshiva boy at heart, and I am comfortable with halacha, but that's not what my job is tonight. My job tonight is just to bring up some scientific issues that might be involved with some of the observance of some of the mitzvahs. That's number one. Number two. What I'm speaking about tonight, I am only ahead of you by 1 week. What I mean to say is, everything I bring to the floor tonight, count back 8 days, and I didn't know it. Okay? All right?
That's good.
Okay, so I just want you to know that this is a work in process for me, and I'm excited about it, because I'm actually only going to focus on one rule, one mitzvah, one rule, but how that rule has a practical application in Israel today. So I'm not going to, it's not an overview of a whole bunch of different rules. It's just one idea. And what I'm really trying to do is to take you on a journey with me. What I just did over the last week, what I'm going to try and do is, instead of just saying it all out to you, putting it in front of you, what do you think? Let's talk about this a little bit. I can tell you one thing for sure. I am hoping that we walk out of here with more questions, with more questions unanswered than questions answered. Some questions will be answered. What I'm more interested in is not that you have answers to the questions. What I'm more interested in is that the issues, the problems, the challenges are brought up, and three quarters of the time there is not a unified answer to each of the questions. But to know that these are issues that are observed, that are, brought up. So now also, I'm going to hand around, now that I've introduced myself, if you are interested in the future, I'm going to be trying to organize tours. In other words, if we learn some halakhas having to do with agriculture, I am now networking with people who are in the agricultural world, and I'm starting to see that there are opportunities for tours and stuff, and I'm going to try and keep them at no cost, low cost, but if you want to hear about them, about the stuff that I'm trying to organize together, kindly just put your name and your email and where you're at, and I'm happy to put you on a list that I'll let you know what's going on. This is not mandatory. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
So let's wait till the break.
Okay, fine. All right. Good idea. All right. So now let's start. And I'm going to here's a handout. I don't know if I have enough of them. Here's a couple here. And now over the last week. And. At some point somebody's going to have to get a black and white one. Because the yeshiva made, I think, 10 ones in color. And now comes the black and white ones. So if you have a colored copying machine, do you need another couple of extras here? I mean, we can get by with black and white. It's okay. It's not as nifty as in the color, but... Alright. Over the last week, I met two really fabulous men. I'm going to the one's name is Dr. Joshua D. Klein, and he is a senior researcher for the Israel Institute of plant science in just north of Rishon LeZion at the Volcani Center. And I sat with him for a couple of hours, and he was teaching me some interesting tree science. And I also sat with another man who was an agronomist, a man who he's a third generation orchard owner. His name is Chagai Kirschenbaum, who lives in Hashmonaim. And he was introduced to me some of the practical applications of what we're about to learn. Okay. The very first slide, and I know that the slides are small, and with God's help in the future, we'll have a projector, and we'll have a projector and a screen. The very first slide is an introduction to the mitzvah of Orla. And we're not going into the intricacies of the halakha. That's not my focus tonight. There's a pasuk, a verse, in the book of Vayikra, the 19th chapter, the 23rd verse. V'chi tavo el ha'aretz unetatem kol etz machal varaltem orlato et peryo shalosh shanim yelachim arelim lo yeyachel. When you come into the land, and you plant. Well, in other words, God was saying to the Jewish people, when you, this is before, this was at the end of their 40 years of sojourning in the desert, after coming out of Egypt and receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, God says, when you come into the land, and you take over the land, and you live in the land, and you plant a fruit tree, called Eitz Makal, a fruit tree, Varlar Temor Lato Epirio. The fruit from this tree is forbidden for the first 3 years after it's planted. Okay? So that's the rules are, not without just keeping it very superficial. You plant the fruit tree. Any fruit produced during the first 3 years after it's planted are absolutely forbidden. They are not kosher. They may not be eaten. Then, in the produce of the fourth year has a very special rule. It's kodesh, holy fruit, and it has to be either redeemed or treated as eaten in Jerusalem. It could be redeemed for money, but it becomes, essentially in the fourth year, the fruit becomes permitted to eat with special rules. And then starting from the fifth year and onwards, the fruit is, let us call chulin, it's fruit which is treated like any other fruit which is grown in Israel. I mean, the other rules apply. And that's the first slide. I don't know if I put the slide. Of the English translation with you. Before we go in, let's take a look at the third slide. And I'm going to just take, if you don't mind, I just want to see. Right. So for you, it's the second slide. Okay. And again, just to remind you. And by the way, I hope you don't have a misperception. I am not a scientist. Okay, I love learning science. My actual education is I've been an elementary school teacher and a high school teacher for the last 35 years, and I generally teach Jewish studies like Gemara and Mishnah and Tanakh and things like that. But I've also taught secular things as well. So just, I just want you to feel comfortable. You're not talking to a person who knows a great more amount of science than you. Okay, just to know that. The second, and by the way, if you have any questions, just be recognized, put up your hand, and at a certain point we'll get this hopefully into a discussion. The next slide, it talks about the life cycle of higher plants. Trees, other plants, but specifically trees, have a life cycle which in certain ways is very much like a human. Now I know that there is a pasuk in the Torah, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh, a person is compared to a tree. One explanation is it's actually a question. Is a tree a person? But whatever the case is, trees have a life cycle. Trees are born, they're started, they go through maturation, they have a childhood in which they cannot reproduce. They have a child which is called a vegetative state. It's called, really in tree science, it's the juvenile phase. Just like people. That people go through before puberty, the child is growing from infant size, getting bigger, larger, developing his or her organs, becoming stronger, and then in the adolescent years, a human is able to start to reproduce. Same thing by trees. Trees first have a juvenile vegetative state. A vegetative state means that it is the trunk is widening, the tree is getting taller. The branches, all of the energy which is coming from the nourishment, from the water and the nutrients of the ground, is not being used by the tree to create, to have reproduction, to make fruit and to make seeds. It's just for the tree to grow. Then, now this changes from tree to tree. And by the way, fruit trees and not fruit trees go through the different stages in life. And trees are different. We have redwoods in the United States that are thousands of years old. You've got trees that are hundreds of years old. So the juvenility of a tree is different from tree to tree, even in fruit trees. But at a certain point, the vegetative phase goes into adolescence, into adulthood. And then the tree is able then to produce fruit. So if you take a look at this small little slide, you have your germination. That's when you put the seed in the ground and the seed germinates and starts to sprout. Then you have vegetative growth, and the tree during vegetative growth is unable to produce fruit, and then it achieves reproductive growth, a maturity. And it produces, first it flowers, and then the flowers, it's pollinated. I'm not going to go into a lot of tree science right now, but there is a whole science of reproduction of trees. It flowers, the flowers fall off, and then you have a little fruit, and the fruit grows, and the fruit has the meat and the seeds on the inside, and the seeds can be then replanted. It's all reproduction. Then a tree then is in with maturity for a number of years, and then it gets old, it stops reproducing, it dies. It becomes what's called a snag, and it loses all of its leaves, and it becomes bare wood, and it's time to chop it down and to turn it into firewood. And there's a lot of Gemaras in Baba Metzia and Baba Basra that talk about trees that are being sold for their wood. In other words, at a certain point, trees get old and die, and the best thing that you could do for them is just cut them down and use them for as building materials and replant new ones. Take a look at the next slide. And by the way, Rabbi, you'll tell me when it's time to, to take a break.
So why don't we do this? Why don't you tell me when's a good time?
I would say right before we get to the middle slide of the next page. Right before that. Okay, so this will do it. The next slide, we're not going to take too much time on it at all. All I wanted to show you, this next slide, was some research paper that was written by people who I don't know. But the title caught me, No Flower, No Fruit: Genetic Potentials to Trigger Flowering in Fruit Trees. And this is an abstract of a long research paper in which the researchers were trying to find ways to get trees, juvenile trees, to get them into fruit-bearing years as soon as possible. So this whole paper, this has got nothing to do with, there might be Jews researching this, and this has got nothing to do with halacha. This is just a research paper in which the scientists are involved. We're saying is that, they were coming from the idea that there's money to be had in fruit. So whenever who are the ones who owns the trees? The orchard owners. They want to get their fruits to the market. They want their trees to produce income. What?
Now.
Yeah, now. So this paper was talking about, and it's very interesting. Now, far be it from me. I'm not trying to give any reasons for any mitzvot, but I just find it very interesting. I find it very interesting that Hashem commanded us that when you plant a tree, let it go through its vegetative state. Let it transition.
Yeah, but the state could be altered before it plants.
That's correct, and in fact,
it's against the commandment, the halakha.
Oh, that's a good question. This halakha doesn't speak to that. In other words, all the halakha is saying is plain and simple: you plant a tree, you count 3 years. During those 3 years, whatever is produced is forbidden. Now, if you want to, if you want to try and find ways to get it to produce faster, you still can't get away from your 3 years. So if you are a Jewish farmer planting these trees, you suddenly have a lot of fruit on your hands. If you're going to be Torah observant, why would you want to make a tree to produce fruit that you will have to destroy?
Close.
Okay, and in fact, what? Yeah, go ahead.
All right, first question is, when do you start counting? From seed stage or germination stage?
Well, generally the way it's done is from planting of the tree.
So,
the way it's done today is that...
grow a sapling.
That's right, from the planting of sapling. That's really where the mark, you know, that's really what's done.
Now, and the second question is, with the fruit, once it falls down, in the first 3 years, you can, like, let it become, like, fertilizer, yeah? Or, like...
Well, yes, but that might be true. But if it's an overabundance of fruit... And this I understood from sitting with Dr. Klein last week at the Plant Science Institute. He says, if it's an overabundance, sure, some of it could be recycled into the ground. But it also attracts parasites and funguses and things like that. And I actually visited Kibbutz Stele Yogo last summer. And they actually send out donkeys to eat up all of the dates that fall on the ground. Because what happens is that these dates, if there's too many of them, it starts to attract parasites and bugs and fungus. So you don't want all of that sitting on your ground.
So it's not kosher for human consumption, but you can feed it to your animals?
Answer is no. Okay. It is according to Allah, you're not supposed to get any benefit from it.
So then letting the donkeys, or the donkey, if there's a bear donkey.
Right, yeah, so I don't know exactly how they go about, you know, how they go about doing it. But the fact is, the oral fruits, because they weren't talking about oral fruit. They were talking about fruit after the 3 years, they had an abundance of fruit that fell on the ground. There you go. Thank you. Okay. What were you going to say?
I'm not an expert on...
Welcome to the club. No?
On fruits or vegetables or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I'm there too. I just eat it. Yeah.
Imagine the land, you know, I grow with the computer era. You know. I don't know. Maybe there are some trees or fruits that really... they grow before 3 years. So they can damage, for example, if I plant an X fruit that all the studies recommend to get it out from the first year.
Right.
No, the halacha says 3 years.
You wait for your 3 years, yeah.
But the studies recommend that it...
No, I don't know if they're recommending. I think the studies were just interested in finding ways to manipulate, because non-Jewish farmers want to produce as fastly as possible. Because remember, each fruit on the tree is shekels in your pocket, or dollars in your pocket. Okay? But let's go on in that. I'm really just trying to just give an overview, that's a great question. Yeah? Orla does actually is one of those mitzvot that applies outside of Israel. There's distinctions in the rules, but actually the mitzvah of Orla is in Israel and it's also outside of Israel as well. But there's a huge elastic clause. Again, I don't want to get into a lot of halacha. But there's an elastic clause outside of Israel that if it's doubtful, suffik orla, in other words, orla which you don't really know whether it is or not, outside of Israel, if it was produced outside of Israel, it's permitted. But again, that's a little bit beyond what I wanted to talk about there. Yeah.
I know you said it's a bit beyond it, but are you more stringent with orla here in Eretz Israel?
Yes. We have to be, orla in Israel... you have to be more careful. Yeah.
All right. Orla only applies to trees or like plants like blueberries or bananas?
Trees. Perennials. That was a great question.
Yeah.
Perennials. Yes.
Perennials.
Bingo. Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is when you plant a tree, count to three.
Okay, but now I'm going to throw in, okay, now I'm just going to throw in just a little, I'm going to throw in something, okay? Listen to this one, okay? Okay, hold it. Yes and no, okay? If you take a tree, okay, and you plant a tree right at the 15th of Av, you know, the Jewish month of Av, and you plant a tree there, and it takes root, within a couple of weeks, by the time the next year shows up, Rosh Hashanah shows up, it's already into its second year. It's considered a second year tree.
Oh, Allah.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so these are halakhot that guys like Haggai Gershenbaum, I spoke to, he has this in his mind. Because a lot of these saplings which are sold, if there is hashkacha, if there is rabbinical supervision, they try and make sure that these saplings are known, they're known in Israel as dushnati. In other words, second year. So that by the time the farmer already purchases it, and he plants it, it's already in the second year. And when, but hold it. We're about to take a break, but then you're going to ask the obvious question. Selling a sampling, the guy has it, it's already a second year.
Yeah.
What are you telling me? If he plants it, don't you push the clock back? Huh? All right, we'll talk later. Hang on a second. Let's go to one more slide. And then we'll take the break. Then we'll hit the halacha. Okay. Okay, this picture, what you're seeing here, it's just a diagram that I found on the web. Really, I didn't want to go through the whole thing. All I really care about is just the very bottom by the roots, is the concept of transpiration, where the root system, here, and I'll show you this. Dr. Klein gave this to me. This is Aravot, an Arava. And he took this, I'm going to try and do this in such a way so that we don't get wet here. And hopefully, since the time I met him last week, but here you see what's called a root system. And if I can get this off without it, yeah, okay. So you could see here, this is called the root system. You could pass it around and take a look at it, of what happens, how a tree is connected to the ground. And through the root system, the water and the nutrients from the ground are passed into, are taken up by the tree.
I see.
Okay. I'm just going to read what Dr. Klein wrote. Not that I really understand it, but I'll read it to you because you might understand it better than I. By the way, here's his complete bio. Senior Research Scientist, Unit for Agricultural Research, the Aharon Volkani Center, Institute of Plant Sciences, Beit Dagan, Israel. Okay. Transpiration is the absorption of water from the soil by plants through active and passive processes, ultimately leading to water vapor release back into the air environment via the stomata in the leaves, which are also the site of O2 and CO2 exchange with the atmosphere. Okay, so the water comes in, it provides the nutrients through the plant, and then it is let out back into the air in the form of oxygen. Okay, so all I wanted to do with you until this point was just to introduce you to the mitzvah of Orla, which I think I have been successful in doing, and speak just a little bit about the life cycle of a tree, and a little bit about the root system. Let's take a question and then a 5-minute break. Yeah.
Let's say I take a seed and I have like an apple seed.
Yeah.
And I plant it myself on my own property, and then it starts to grow. How many years do I wait from the seed?
From the time that you planted the seed.
From the time of planting, so there's
an exception he told me.
No, we were talking about saplings. No, but if you do plant the seed, but by the time it comes fruit bearing, it's long after the 3 years.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah. So the planting of the seed, you don't have to wait till it germinates.
This applies only for Israel.
It actually applies outside of Israel too, but as we spoke before, the rules are a little bit relaxed outside of Israel for certain reasons.
You guys will ask questions while people leave because we're
Let's take a little break and come on up if you have something to say. We won't stitch you here.
It's a tree that sometimes.